The solar arc, the fall didn't feel like falling. It felt like being pulled through warm water and indurating essence at the same time. Asha couldn't tell if she was moving or if the macrocosm around her was folding, refolding, and suturing itself into new shapes as she passed. Malik's hand was still in hers, but distorted, stretching into a band of light before snapping back into a hand again. A palpitation echoed around them, not sound, not vibration, commodity deeper. Asha realized she was hearing her own twinkle braked to an insolvable bottleneck. She tried to speak, but her voice shattered into spangling fractions, drifting like dust. The void shifted. Shapes surfaced. Structures? Memories? Stars? She couldn't tell. Everything folded too presto, too fluid. One moment she allowed, she saw her veil, also it melted into an ocean of glass. Also, a thousand suns arranged like globules on a line. Malik's voice cut through, depraved but familiar. Asha, commodities up ahead. She strained her eyes. The darkness held back. And there it was, the solar arc. It didn't look like a structure or a megacity or a boat. It looked like a ring made of light and gravestone and commodity aged than matter. It floated in the void like a halo torn from a forgotten god. Lists of energy curled around it, shifting colors in slow gyrations, gold to blue to tableware to colors Asha didn't know names for. Inside the ring, graveness was ever. She felt the hall of it. Malik squeezed her hand. Guess that's our stop. The pull accelerated.
Faster.
Harder. Asha braced herself, awaiting to hit face, but the moment she reached the ring, her body snapped into a controlled fall. She landed on her knees, coughing, lungs conforming to air that tasted noiselessly metallic but permeable. Malik crashed beside her with much lower grace. Okay, he moaned. One day, we're going to travel nearly by walking through an factual door like normal people. Asha didn't answer. She was gaping. The arc was vast, an indirect aeroplane stretching wider than any megacity she'd seen. The ground beneath them was made of shimmering material, like glass fused with star essence. Thin, radiant lines ran across the face, patterns that palpitated like modes. Above them, the ring they'd passed through floated in the sky, rotating sluggishly. But the place was ensilent. A low hum bucket through the air. Machinery.
Ancient, alive.
The entire arc sounded to breathe. What this means, Malik said still, is that someone erected all of this. Someone important. Someone who didn't plan for us to be then. Asha stepped forward, eyes tracing the glowing patterns on the bottom. They fanned outward like a chart. At the center of everything stood a towering structure, a becket shaped like a sand glass twisted in half. It reflected the void around it in shifting fractals. That's the control point, Asha said. Has to be. A gust of wind stirred, except there was no sky to make wind. No atmosphere, no mountains, nothing to shape it. Malik felt it too. Senses like the arc is waking up. They walked toward the becket. The nearer they got, the further Asha felt the weight of the place pressing into her mind. Not hanging, more like scanning. Testing. As if the arc itself was trying to decide whether to accept her. She could feel it brushing against the Sunkeeper energy inside her, assaying it the way a cinch tests a key. Malik nudged her. You're glowing. She looked down. Light strained through her skin. Faint, golden, pulsing with her twinkle. It's replying to me, she said.
Cool.
Also intimidating. Substantially intimidating. Ahead, stairs rose toward the Beckett's entrance. The doorway was altitudinous enough for five people piled on top of each other. Symbols sculpted into the frame flitted like embers. Asha lifted her hand. The light in her modes cheered. The door resolve opened quietly. Inside, the chamber was indirect, lined with towering pillars that twisted into a pate. Thin aqueducts of energy flowed up each pillar, like falls made of light. At the center floated a sphere. Massive, metallic, suspended above a pool of white, gold liquid. The sphere's face gurgled and rearranged itself constantly, showing casts of stars, storm winds, shattered worlds. Malik rumored, Tell me that's not a sun. Asha shook her head sluggishly. It's a simulation. A model. A control core. When she stepped toward it, the bottom responded, lighting beneath her bases in a path. As she neared the sphere, the energy inside it stirred, swirling briskly. A voice filled the chamber. Sunkeeper detected. Asha set. The voice was Entmortal. It was Ent indeed synthetic. It sounded like the echo of a dying star dragged through Demetas. Malik looked around hectically. Where is that coming from? Asha didn't know until the sphere opened. Not physically. More like space stretched, and a figure stepped out. A woman, or commodity shaped like one, made of pure light. No face, no features, just in figure with a core burning where a heart should be. Her voice bucketed through the room. Designation keeper of the line. You carry the echo of the first sun. Asha swallowed. Who are you? I'm the Ark, Sapience. Guardian of the solar arc, listener of the worlds. Watcher of the suns. Malik murmured. Great. A magical supercomputer, with pride. The figure lifted her head, as if assaying him. Your companion is Ent applicable.
Rude, Malik said.
Asha stepped forward, concentrate tightening. The suns are waking. The 13th sun is stirring. I need to know how to stop it. The Ark, Sapience broke, long enough to worry her. Still, the veiled worlds will meet. If the 13th sun rises completely, all vestments collapse. This macrocosm becomes energy. Malik rubbed his tabernacle. You people ever try giving good news first? Asha ignored him. How do we stop the confluence? The figure lifted her hand. The chamber shifted. The sphere expanded until it filled their view, revealing 12 suns ringing a dark, pulsing core. The 13th sun tendrils of shadow blurted from it, lugging the others inward. The 13th sun was disassociated from the chain long gone, the Sapience said. But its return is ineluctable unless the anchor is broken. Anchor? Asha asked. A new image appeared. The tempera on the ancient tabernacle, the bone they saw in the chamber. Also it zoomed in. Centered on one thing.
Asha.
Malik blinked.
Ah.
Why her face? The Sunkeeper is the anchoring vessel. Asha felt a bite crawl up her chine. Explain. When you awakened your capacities, the 13th sun responded. It marks you. It follows you. It grows through you. Malik let out the quietest nope she'd ever heard. Asha's hands quivered. You're saying the suns are waking because of me? Not because of you. Through you. The sphere bedimmed. To stop the 13th sun, the anchor must be disassociated. Asha goggled. Meaning me? Malik seized her arm incontinently. Absolutely not. The Sapience shook her head. Not death. Separation. The chamber shifted again. This time it showed a void with a figure in the center, Asha's figure, being resolved into two aqueducts of light. One bright, one dark. Your power must be torn from your mortal form. Uprooted.
Contained.
Only also will the 13th sun lose its hold. Asha felt the blood drain from her face. That would kill me. It risks death, the Sapience agreed. But without the birth, all life in this world will end. Malik stepped between Asha and the figure. There has to be another way. The Sapience watched him still. There's one volition. Asha's palpitation jumped. What's it? The sphere shifted again, showing another figure. Altitudinous. Cloaked in darkness. Eyes like broken shards of starlight. Asha honored him incontinently. The critter from the tabernacle. The veiled one. Still, the Sapience said. The anchor will move if the 13th sun chooses another vessel. Asha understood right down. So, if it takes someone differently, I'm free. Yes, the Sapience said. But the new vessel becomes the ground. They will end survive the rise. Malik exhaled sprucely. So either you die or someone differently dies for you. Asha closed her eyes. Her heart pounded. The weight of the Ark pressed in from every direction. This was the cost. This was the verity staying at the end of every vaticination. Malik touched her shoulder. We're not choosing anything yet. There has to be a third way. A retired option. A loophole. Commodity. Asha wanted to believe him, but the sapience watched her with eyes made of light and centuries. Time moves snappily, she said vocally. The sun's approach alignment. You must choose a path soon. Malik snapped, no. She's not choosing anything moment. A gentle palpitation rolled through the chamber. Also before you choose, the sapient said, you must see. See what? Asha asked. The chamber darkened. The sphere collapsed inward. Suddenly, they were falling again, not physically, but into a vision the arc forced around them. A world torn piecemeal. Skies ripped into lists. Suns collapsing, dragging entire geographies into gyrations of light. Metropolises shattering. Abysses boiling. Everything turning into burning dust. A shadow rose from the center. The 13th sun. Its graveness devoured everything. Asha screamed as the vision swallowed her whole. Also, she snapped back into the chamber, heaving. Malik sustained her, fear in his voice. You okay? Asha, look at me, you okay? She jounced, breath ragged.
I saw it. The end.
The sapience's voice bedimmed. This is the fate if the anchor remains. Asha looked at the glowing bottom. So it's me or another vessel? Yes. Malik shook his head.
No.
We're chancing commodity differently. Commodity, the ancient star, gods, or whatever missed. Asha lifted her eyes to the sapience. What do I do now? The figure stepped back into the sphere. In the coming chamber, she said, lies the heart of the Ark. It'll test you. Show you what the 13th sun seeks. And what price your choice demands. Malik murmured. Atrocious. A cosmic pop quiz. Asha gobbled, slow and painful. This wasn't just a trip presently. It was a decision that could damn or save entire worlds. She walked toward the inner doorway. Malik followed. Behind them, the sapience spoke one last time. Sunkeeper, prepare yourself. The Ark reveals verity without mercy. Asha didn't look back. She stepped into the coming chamber, and the door sealed shut behind them. The Chamber of Echoes, the door sealed behind them with a soft, final chirr. The kind of sound that didn't belong to essence or gravestone, but commodity alive. Asha felt the shift incontinently. The air tensed, thickening around her such like warm mist. Malik took a reluctant step forward, and the ground under his charge gurgled like liquid glass before solidifying again. Okay, he rumored. I formally detest this room. Asha didn't answer. She was gaping at the chamber ahead, a vast indirect space with walls made of translucent bends of demitasse. The ceiling was not a ceiling at all. It was an open void swirling with faint nebulae, as if the night sky had been pulled outside and trapped in a pate. The bottom changed with every step, patterns of light forming beneath her bases, rewriting themselves like living equations. Malik nudged her. You sure you want to go first? She gave a small nod. Her twinkle was a barrel in her throat, but she stepped forward anyway. Commodity deep in the chamber replied. The pattern beneath her lit up like a daylight, spreading outward in rings. A voice drifted down from nowhere, softer than the sapience, aged, nearly mortal. Sunkeeper, present your echo. Asha felt warmth bloom in her casket, the gleam she'd been trying to suppress since the tabernacle. She lifted her hand. A soft gold shimmer spread from her wind, rising, unyoking into vestments of light around her. Malik watched with wide eyes. Still not used to seeing you do that. The room shifted. Asha heaved as the walls dissolved into darkness. Suddenly, she was standing presently. She was floating. Also, the world rebuilt itself around her. A desert. Red, blistering, stretching endlessly. A lone figure walked across it, a girl with short dark hair and a scarf wrapped across her face. She looked 14, perhaps 15. Asha honored her. It was her. Malik's voice echoed from nearly behind her, distant and muffled. Are we seeing your recollections? Asha didn't answer. She was locked in place as the vision played. Her youngish tones staggered across the beach, clinging a pack wrapped in cloth. Ahead, and village palace lustered in the heat. Three men chased her, crying pitfalls. They were aggressors, scavengers. Asha flashed back that day too well, the day she ran with stolen drug for her grandmother. The youngish Asha tripped. Beach swallowed her.
The
first sun relic, the scrap that had awakened her power. Her breath formed shadows in the air. A man knelt in the snow hard, Dr. Rallin, her tutor, the first person who believed she had implicit. She flashed back him smiling at her through a frost-covered beard. But in the vision, he was Ent smiling. He looked alarmed. The walkway shook. A dark shape rose from below, a critter of ringing shadow, all jagged branches and fluttering eyes. The same kind that attacked the tabernacle. The same that followed her since the awakening. The 13th sun's influence. The youngish Asha reached toward Rallin, trying to pull him up. But the critter whipped forward. It didn't strike her. It struck him. Rallin's laugh tore through the mountains. Asha cried out. Indeed, though she knew this no way happed. She had escaped that day without casualties. Rallin had survived. This was Ent real. But the Ark was Ent showing reality. It was showing the cost of the power she carried. The vision dissolved again. The chamber returned. Asha staggered, dizzy. Malik caught her, hands establishment on her shoulders. Whatever this thing is doing, he said, voice low. I want it to stop. A deep resonance rolled through the room. One further echo remains. Asha tried to undergird her breath. I can handle it. Malik lowered. Why do you always say effects right before the macrocosm decides to discipline us? The chamber darkened formerly more. This time the transition was gentle. A soft gleam erected around her. Warm. Familiar. A vil fire. Horse laugh. A quiet evening. Asha blinked as she set up herself standing outdoors, her old home the one before everything changed. Her grandmother sat by the fire, humming a tune. Asha approached sluggishly, heart ringing. Her grandmother had failed times agone. Seeing her now alive, peaceful, felt like a blade ringing under her caricatures. Malik rumored, is this real? Asha shook her head, but she knelt anyway. Her grandmother looked up. Her smile was exactly as Asha flashed back, warm enough to melt the coldest rage. You carry a heavy light, her grandmother said. Asha's voice cracked. I didn't ask for any of this. No child asks to be chosen, the old woman said. But the sons choose anyhow. Asha bowed her head. Tell me what to do. Her grandmother reached out, her hand warm, grounding. Your power is a thread, she said. Pull it too hard, and everything unravels. Hold it too tight, and it strangles you. Asha's eyes burned. I do, Ent, want to die. Also do, Ent, her grandmother said simply. Find another way. Asha lifted her head. There's another way? The old woman smiled. There's always another way. But the Ark cannot show you paths not yet walked. Only echoes of what you sweat and what you are. Asha swallowed hard. What am I? Her grandmother touched her casket. You're the only Sunkeeper born without guidance. You're the only one who awakened alone. That means your path has no script. No vaticination. You can shape it yourself. Asha blinked, and the moment she did, her grandmother dissolved. The fire dissolved. The vil dissolved like bank. The chamber returned. Asha fell to her knees. Malik rushed to her side. Asha, talk to me. What did you see? She wiped her eyes with the reverse of her hand. The Ark's not giving us answers. It's giving warnings. About you? Malik asked. About choice, she said. About cost. Before Malik could say more, the voice returned. The echoes are complete. The bottom lit up in a wide curl. A new platform rose sluggishly from the center of the chamber, an indirect tribune engraved with the same symbols from the tabernacle. Asha's heart swiped. Malik rumored, I'm guessing we're supposed to step on that. A palpitation of light verified it. They moved together. When Asha stepped onto the tribune, everything went still. The light inside the bottom surged overhead, twisting around her like a golden cyclone. Malik tried to pull her down, but the energy pushed him back gently, not harming him, just removing him from the center. Asha, he cried. She reached for him, but her hand passed through a distance of shimmering light. The chamber shifted into silence. Also the sapience's voice echoed, Sunkeeper. The heart of the Ark has measured your echo. Asha braced herself. And the 13th sun grows faster than anticipated. Asha's stomach dropped. How fast? Its confluence will begin within 3 days. Malik swore under his breath. Three days? That's not time. That's a bad joke. Asha goggled ahead, mind racing.
The birth.
The indispensable vessel. Are those still the only choices? The sapience broke, an eternity compressed into a twinkle. There's a third path. Malik uncurled. Eventually, Asha's voice rose with stopgap. What's it? The walls bedimmed. The tribune beneath her bases whistled. The sapience spoke. The third path requires forging a bond between the Sunkeeper and the 13th sun. A joining. A emulsion. Asha's breath caught. Fusion meaning what?
You would not die.
You would not lose your power. But you would come commodity, neither mortal nor Elysian. Malik lowered. Meaning what exactly? The sapience answered without wimpiness. Meaning she'd no longer be mortal. Silence. Asha felt the bottom cock beneath her. Malik stepped forward, voice shaking with wrathfulness. Absolutely not. She's not, you see, Ant. She's not getting some sun, god mongrel thing. Asha rumored. What happens if I do it? You bind the 13th sun to your will, the sapient said. You end its hunger. You stabilize the chain. You save all worlds. Asha's voice quivered. And I lose myself. Not completely, the sapient said. But you'll no way return to the life you knew. The room palpitated. Slow. Heavy. The weight of three choices crushed down on her.
Die.
Condemn someone differently to die. Or stop the catastrophe by surrendering her humanity. Malik walked up to the hedge between them, triumphs pressed flat to the shimmering wall. Asha, look at me. She lifted her eyes. We'll find a fourth option, he said. I do not watch what ancient cosmic systems say. You're not dying, you're not immolating someone differently, and you're not losing who you are. She swallowed hard. And if we see Ant? He shook his head.
No.
I'm not accepting that. The hedge flitted, also dissolved. Asha fell forward. Malik caught her incontinently. The sapience spoke one last time, decide soon. The 13th sun is watching. The tribune lowered. The chamber fell silent. Asha leaned against Malik, heart pounding, her mind a storm of fear and insolvable choices. We need a plan, he rumored. Asha jounced, voice slightly steady. We need to find the 13th sun before it finds me. Asha stayed at the center of the chamber long after the echoes faded. The air still hummed from the activation of the ancient mechanisms, and the sigils along the walls palpitated like a twinkle she had Ent yet matched. She was Ent, hysterical, just apprehensive that she had crossed a boundary she could Ent step back from. The others watched her, staying for her to speak, but she demanded a moment to understand what she'd felt. Not just power, but recognition. As if the chamber had Ent awakened because of her, but for her. Malik approached first. He always did. He kept his voice low, nearly careful. It replied to you alone. He didn't add what everyone differently was allowing that no bone alive had ever touched off a sun gate ahead, not in any record or myth. Asha didn't answer. She stepped near to the central pedestal, tracing the faint groove where the light had burned. It was Ent hot. It was Ent indeed warm. It felt like touching a memory. She eventually breathed out, steady and slow. This was Ent in activation, she said. It was a test. The room shifted also, subtle but unmistakable. A low vibration rolled through the gravestone bottom, creeping up their legs and settling in their bones. Riva turned sprucely toward the doorway. Commodity outdoors changed. The crystal clear windows verified it. The sky no longer held the steady gleam of their world sun. There were stripes of dark fire cutting across the horizon, like the trails of falling stars. Only they were Ent falling. They were moving with intent. Asha didn't move from the pedestal. The chamber didn't test me, she said still. It advised me. Malik followed her aspect to the sky and understood. Anomaly storms. Not natural. Not chaotic. These were coordinated dislocations, rifts opening from the external edges of the system where the 13th sun's influence was strongest. Reva snapped into command mode, calling out instructions, preparing securities, transferring cautions through the calm lines. But she kept glancing back at Asha because she knew the real question was entpolitik. It was empirical. A deep grumble shook dust from the ceiling. The first rift completely bloomed above the eastern crest, tearing open like a crack. Through it came a structure, geometric, massive, and unmistakably finagled. A solar construct. One of the bones that should Ent live presently. Asha eventually stepped down from the pedestal. They're not overrunning, she said. They're returning. Malik nearly laughed, except nothing about the moment was funny. Returning from where? She looked at him, the weight of the chamber still in her voice. From the places we forgot to flash back. Before they could respond, the pedestal burned again, this time without her touch. A protuberance rose above its star charts, rearranging themselves, showing circles clustering on their world. Not to destroy it. To reclaim it. Reva's face went pale. We're standing inside the key, she rumored. Asha corrected her with a certainty that should end have been possible.
No.
We're standing inside the cinch. Outside, more rifts opened. Further constructs surfaced. The sky cheered with unnatural dawn. And for the first time since the ancient period, the system was shifting into alignment with commodity-aged than any civilization left to name it. Malik stepped beside Asha, near enough for his shoulder to encounter hers. What do we do? She didn't break her aspect from the insolvable sky. We open what they're coming for, she said. Before someone additional forces it open the wrong way, also the chamber doors sealed on their own. The lights bedimmed. The ministry awakened. And every twinkle in the room accompanied to a meter that didn't belong to their world presently.